Good morning, everybody. Don't have a lot of time. Been reading this book, and this book that I've been reading says Jesus can come back anytime. So I don't have enough a lot of time. I got to hurry up and get this message in. Plus, Justin put the pressure on me that you guys may walk out and start hooping in the middle of my sermon. So that's some pressure right there, too. But if you guys would, go ahead and open your Bibles up. We're going to be in 1 Corinthians. Chapter 13, and like Philip says, sometimes go ahead and launch your Bible apps. 1 Corinthians is in the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, 1 Corinthians, chapter 13. We're going to be reading the first 8 verses and then skip down to 13. We're going to talk about today, what is love? Verse 1. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give away all I have, and if I deliver up my body to be burned, but have not love, I gain nothing. Listen to these 15. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. And on down to 13, it says, so now faith, hope, and a love abide these three, but the greatest of these is love. I don't think anybody in here would argue that one of the greatest things that a person can possess is love. I mean, right there in verse 13, it tells us that the greatest of these is love. In 1 Peter chapter 4, it says, God says, above all things have what? Love. That means above everything else. It says, man, if you have this and you have that, above all of that, please have love. And when the Bible wants to define God, or God wants to define himself, the Bible tells us that God is what? Love. That means, man, when we see God, we're going to see love. Love is the clearest definition and the best way to describe the character of God. Philip just went over Romans chapter 13. And in that chapter, it said that love is the fulfilling of the whole law. That means, man, if you have love, you're fulfilling the whole law. If you have perfect love, you're fulfilling the whole law. The number one thing that you must have if you want a life that lines up with the character of God is love. And as important as love is, it is often missing from God's own people, the church. I mean, an illustration of that is the passage we just read about the Corinthians, the church in the city of Corinth. Man, this church had multiple spiritual gifts. Man, they had a lot of great teachers in the city of Corinth. They had a solid grasp on doctrine. They even had a cool way of reaching the lost. But Paul adds them up to equal zero with all that they had going for them, because he said that love was missing from them. But I think I know what love is, and I'm sure you guys think you know what love is. And I'm sure the Corinthians thought they knew what love was. But since Paul said it was missing from them, we have to ask ourselves, man, what is love? There have been many books written about love, movies, poems, plays, songs. And if you're like me, in middle school, you probably had a girlfriend or a boyfriend that at one point in time you told them what? I love you. Where'd you get your definition of love from? Where did we get our definition of love from? I know where I got mine from. I got it from a 1987's classic musical from a great composer of music. Not Mozart, not Beethoven, but a guy named LL Cool J. And he said, when I'm alone in my room, sometimes I stare at the wall, and in the back of my mind, I hear my conscience call, telling me I need a girl who's as sweet as a dove. For the first time in my life, I see I need love. That's where I got my definition of love from. From LL Cool J. He said, man, you need a girl to have love. But when you've sang it all, when you've seen all the movies, when you've heard all the poems and seen all the plays, we haven't heard anything until we've read verses 4-7. Because here is the most complete description of love ever penned. And the reason that we can say it's the most complete description, because it's God's own personal definition of love. And more than that, it's his description. I mean, if we want to get real technical with it, the Bible never really defines love. And when I say defines, I mean in terms of abstract attitude or feeling. Because love is not abstract, an attitude or feeling. Love, the Bible only describes love in action. Love is a deed. Love is an activity. And to support this, the research I did said that in the Greek, verses 4-7, where we read love is patient, love is kind, love is this, love is not that, those, we read them in the English version as adjectives or describing words, but really they are verbs. And we all know what verbs do. Verbs show action. Love is not something you describe with adjectives. Love is something you describe with verbs. Love is something you describe with verbs because it is not defined. It is only described. Love is only love when it acts. I mean, if you have a spouse or kids or somebody that you care about, you can tell them all day you love them till you're blue in the face. But without showing them, those words mean nothing. They're zero. The Corinthians, they had missed the mark because in all that they were doing, there was no love. And Paul wanted them to know that, man, love was a necessity and that without it, man, we're zero. Look at verses 1-3. Paul says, man, it doesn't matter if you can speak in tongues. It doesn't even matter if you can speak in the tongues of angels. Without love, man, you're nothing but a bunch of noise. It doesn't matter if you have the gift of prophecy or if you have all knowledge and all wisdom and all faith. It doesn't even matter if you give yourself up as a martyr. It doesn't matter if you take all that you have, sell it, and give to the poor. Without love, you are absolutely nothing. Love plays the most important part of all Christian behavior. And where love is absent, the behavior ceases to be Christian. Then Paul moves on to describe love because they were saying, hey, man, you're saying that love is so important and that we're nothing without it. So, man, tell us what love is. I mean, we want to know what love is. And and Paul says, man, I'm glad you guys asked about that because I wrote a song about love. You like to hear it? Here it goes. And he starts describing it starting in verse 4. Listen to it. It says, love is patient, which means long suffering. Love is kind. Love is not envying. Love is not boasting. Love is not arrogant or feeling conceited. Love is not rude or behaving in an unbecoming way. Love is not seeking its own way. Love is not irritated. Listen to what Paul is saying here. Love is not thinking evil. Love is not rejoicing at wrongdoing. Love is rejoicing with the truth. Love is enduring all things, believing all things, hoping all things, lasting into all things. Paul shows them love in terms of behavior. Love in action. Now, the descriptions we hear of love here is nothing that we haven't heard before. It's nothing that we don't understand. They're just things that we don't apply. Paul lists those 15 perfections of love, and they're not in any particular order. But a lot of people believe that they're in the order in which he saw the mess going on in the Corinthian church. And he saw them, and he starts off by saying, man, love is patient. And that was like a slap in the face to him. Wow. Because the Corinthians were not patient. They were not long-suffering. Then he says, love is acting kindly. And we know that they were not acting kindly. Then he moves on and says, man, love is not envying or being jealous. And we know that they were a jealous group. And if you don't believe it, just go back to the first part of chapter 3, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and you'll see just how envious and jealous they were. Basically, what Paul was doing to the Corinthians is what Tasha does to me. When Tasha sits me down and she says, Leon, we need to talk about how we're treating each other. I've been in this thing for, 16 years almost? I know that that's not what that means. What that means is, Leon, we need to sit down and talk about how you're treating me. That's what that means. What Paul was really doing is showing them openly and honestly, man, here is love. See where you match up with love and see how it goes in your life. Because the way that you're doing things now, nothing you do matters because there isn't any love in it. And of course, we're not going to look at all 15 perfections, but I would like to look at just the first two. And the first one, of course, is love is patient, or love is long-suffering. And in the New Testament, in the Greek, this word patient is used to describe patience with people. It's not used to describe patience in necessarily events or circumstances. What it is, patience, is the ability to be done wrong and done wrong and done wrong again. And you have the ability to retaliate. But check this out. You never even think about it. It is the picture of a person who is getting done wrong over and over and over again and have it within them to retaliate or to avenge it, but they never do it. Who comes to mind when you think about that? You know, it's interesting when we think about it, but the spirit of not retaliating is strictly a Christian concept. I mean, especially in the Greek world, to not retaliate has never been seen as a strength. And to be honest with you, it's been seen as a weakness if you don't retaliate. This guy named Aristotle, he said, man, you need to be ready to strike back at someone who insults you or causes you harm. That's pretty much what we do. I don't know if you guys have seen that movie, American Sniper, but in American Sniper, it has a flashback of the main character to when he goes back to when he was a child and they're at the dinner table, and it's his daddy, his mother, and him and his brother. And him and his brother are all muddy and beat up and stuff because they had been into a fight with some other kids. And his daddy and mama are at the table, and his daddy says, I bet not ever hear of you starting a fight. But you better dang sure finish them. That's what we do. That's what we teach our kids.
Somebody hits you, you what? You hit them back. That's heroism to us. But to God, it's the complete opposite of love. Love does not retaliate. This was something new to the Greeks. And it's, to be honest with you, something new to, it's not something written that's new, but it's something, it's a new way of thinking for us as well. And it's not something that we just pick up overnight. It's not something that you have the moment you become a Christian. And to be honest with you, it's something that we'll probably be working on for the rest of our lives, to have perfect patience. But just because it may take the rest of our lives doesn't mean that we shouldn't try to have perfect patience. We should be striving for it every day. And we definitely shouldn't be the type of Christians that don't want to pray for perfect patience, because we know that God will put us in a position where we have to exercise those perfect patience. The Christian is one who can be hurt, injured, and insulted. And you're in a position to where you can take revenge, but you don't. Paul tells us it was a characteristic of his, and it should be a characteristic of every single believer. In fact, I think it's in Galatians 5:22, it tells us it's a fruit of the Spirit to have patience. In fact, when we display proper patience, it shows that we are following God's plan and timetable rather than our own plans and timetables, and that we have abandoned our own ideas and are getting on board with God's ideas and timetable. Have you guys ever dealt with someone who had great patience? I mean, it has a tremendous effect on you, whether you realize it or not. And coming up with this message, I came across a great illustration. Abraham Lincoln. You guys know Abraham Lincoln. He was our 16th president. I don't know either. He was our 16th president, I'm sure. But he had many friends, and he had a ton of enemies. And an outspoken enemy of his was this guy named Stanton. Stanton just despised Lincoln. Stanton could not stand Abraham Lincoln. In fact, in the paper back in the day, and realize this, back in the day, it wasn't common for you to talk about the president. It's only been here since a few that, you know, it's common for people to just post anything about the president. But back in the day, it wasn't common for you to talk about the president. But he was quoted in the paper back in the day as calling Abraham Lincoln a low, cunning clown. I said, man, this dude is a clown. He even called Abraham Lincoln the original gorilla. And he said, man, I don't understand why people are going to these other countries to see a gorilla when we got a gorilla right here in Springfield, Illinois. Talking about Abraham Lincoln. Talking about the president. And Stanton was very bitter toward Lincoln, but Lincoln never responded to him. He never said a word to him. But it came time for Abraham Lincoln to choose a war minister for the United States government. And guess who he chose? Stanton. And everybody knew they had beef with each other. It's like, man, why in the world would you choose Stanton? And Lincoln said, man, simply because he's the best guy for the job. So he chose him. Well, we know that the years went on, and we know that Abraham Lincoln was assassinated. And the night he was assassinated, he was taken into a little room. And in this little room was just a few people. And one of those people was Stanton. And Stanton was standing over his body after he had just been freshly shot, pulled in this room. And he's sitting there sobbing, sitting there crying. He's sitting there boo-hooing. And through his tears, he says, there lies the greatest ruler of men the world has ever known. See, Stanton never accepted Lincoln's politics, but he couldn't resist Lincoln's patience. He could not resist the non-retaliating spirit of the president. See, love forgives 70 times 7 when it has been wronged. And that brings me to my second point. Love is kind. Love is patient is the first part. Love is kind is the flip side of this. Now listen to this. Love is patient, endures the injuries of others. Love is kind, pays them back only with good deeds. Long-suffering says, man, I'll take anything from my enemies. Love is kind says, man, I will give anything to my enemies to meet their need. The root word of this word kindness in the Greek is useful. Basically, I would do anything to be of use to my enemies. Love, I will live my life to benefit others. Love is conscious about using itself to benefit others. It's the deed of kindness. It's the act you do for someone else that needs to be done. It's what Leah was doing with that kid. She didn't just say, oh, you need something to eat, okay. No, she met that need. And not only that, she was inquiring to see if the family had a need. You know, she was showing love genuinely by trying to meet their needs and then helping them move. That's meeting their needs again. They needed help moving. That's what love is. That's what the attribute of kindness is. When it says love is kind, man, it's not talking about a sweet attitude. It is talking about a useful deed. Love gives itself away to help somebody, even an enemy. When Jesus said, love your enemies, he didn't say, man, feel good about your enemies. He said, man, have a nice attitude towards your enemies. He said, no, do good things for your enemies. Abraham Lincoln understood that attribute. Can you imagine what the church would be like if we were all like that? If nobody sought to retaliate? Can you imagine what your marriage would be like if you never sought to? I'm talking about little retaliations too. I'm not talking about you have to go and hit them or do all that stuff. I'm talking about, I ain't cleaning nothing up because she didn't do that. You know, that's retaliating. Can you imagine what your marriage would be like? Can you imagine what your workplace would be like if you didn't retaliate against your boss or work co-workers? Love never seeks revenge. Love can be wronged and wronged and wronged again, and it never wants to take a vengeance. That's the way to define love. God is long-suffering. God is patient. In Romans 2:4, it says that the person who rejects God's grace is really despising the riches of his goodness and forbearance and long-suffering. A person who continuously rejects God, who continuously turns their back on God, is basically despising God's patience. In 2 Peter 3:9, it says that God is patient, not wishing that anyone should perish. There are a ton of examples of Jesus Christ being patient. But probably the best example is when he was hanging on the cross. After he had endured all that he had endured, had nothing more to say about his enemies than what? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Jesus exhibited patience and kindness. After he had been done wrong by his enemies, and we all know that he had the ability to take care of his enemies, all he had to do was snap his fingers and everybody would have been dealt with. All he had to do was just think it and everybody would have been dealt with. But it never even came across his mind to take revenge because he had perfect love. He had perfect patience, perfect kindness. He prayed for him, and then he showed the greatest act of kindness this world has ever known. He paid the price for your sins and our sins and my sins. What a great example of love. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for love. We're thankful that you are love. Thank you for loving us so much that you saw we had a need. And you didn't just leave us there abandoned and wanting and steady in need. You said, no, I'm going to meet that need. And thank you for doing that. Thank you for sending your son, the only one who could pay the price to satisfy your wrath against sin. Thank you for loving us. Loving us while we were your enemies. Loving us while we were your Stanton. Showing the greatest act of kindness to us. We thank you, and it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.